بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My respected brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with this great day of Yawm al-Jumu'ah. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness in our life. May Allah grant us barakah and blessings in our rizq and sustenance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all the sins that we have committed. May Allah guide us, our families, our children, our progeny till the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. Ameen. My respected brothers, the last time I spoke to you, I started a series regarding death. And just to recap, I spoke about in the first talk or the first part of it, I spoke about the importance of the remembrance of death. And I mentioned and I said how beneficial it is for a believer. And I quoted the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he mentioned and he said, "Tuhfatul mu'min al maut." That one of the greatest blessings given to a believer is death. And around that, I spoke about the different things about how a person should go about his life and how important it is for him to constantly keep this picture in front of him that he's going to leave the world. In the second week, I spoke about the pangs of death, or as we know it as sakaratul maut. And in it, I spoke about the excruciating pain a person may go through when he's about to leave this world. And one key point I mentioned and I said that the soul is diffused into every part of the body. To such an extent, I gave the analogy and I mentioned and I said that if you had to cut off a limb from a lifeless body, that body will feel no pain. But if this very same person, that very same body is alive and a small cut is given to it, then that person will feel huge amounts of pain. And this is because the soul is diffused into every part of the body. So this basically was the crux of the first two talks that I had. Today, inshallah, we'll move on. And now, today, inshallah, I want to speak about what happens when a person is in the qabr. Now, my respected Ahlul Zim brothers, you know, once the soul is taken away, the ghusl of the body is given, and the janazah salah is complete, what transpires thereafter? But before we get to it, you know, this entire process of sakarat, this entire process of ghusl, janazah and burial is indeed a great lesson for the living. Not only that, there are tons of lessons that can come out from it. Just think for a second. Imagine we walk on the earth with all these titles, with all these, you know, certificates and things like that. And we expect everyone to acknowledge us by these titles. We expect everybody to understand who we are. How often we turn around when we are having an argument with a person. We tell that person, "Do you know who I am?" In other words, do you know the status that I hold? This is what we say. Do you know where I come from? Do you know my family background? Do you know what type of person I am? And we use these things. We use it. But did you ever think, my respected Alism brothers, that when we leave this world, even our name is gone at that moment? Even our name is gone at that moment. How often we are the ones that say, "Where is the body? What time is the janazah? Where is the marhum's address? What is the address of the marhum? What time will be the body? What time will the body be put in the grave? Who will go into the grave with that body?" Names are taken away. No one ever says, "Where is Muhammad? What time is Muhammad's janazah? Who is going to give Muhammad a ghusl? Who will go with Muhammad into the qabr?" So even at that time, even the name is gone. So it's indeed a lesson for us all. And it clearly shows us how deceptive this dunya is. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so beautifully mentions in the Quran, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. So what is of this life? Except that there is nothing but deception in it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really give us the tawfiq to understand it, inshallah. Nevertheless, moving on. So now it comes in the narration that once the body is covered and the janazah is done, the sand is thrown onto the grave and people are have covered it, what happens? It comes in the narration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now returns the soul back to that body. And once this is done, now this grave, it becomes either rawdatun min riyadil jannah or hufaratun min hufarin nar. It either becomes a garden from the gardens of paradise or a pit from the pits of hell. But before we get into the spiritual aspect, I want to share with you something in my research when I was doing it. I came across this and it was very fascinating yet scary at the same time. So they mention and they say in the first 3 days, from 0 to 3 days, what happens to the body? How does it decompose? So they mention and they say from 0 to 3 days, the cells in the body begin to die. And the body starts to break down. From 4 to 10 days, the body starts to change color. It starts to bloat. And gases start to be released from the body. From 10 days onwards, fluids start coming out of every cavity of the body. From the mouth, from the ears, from the nose, every part of the body. The muscles begin to come soft. The tissues on the body starts to liquefy. The nails and the teeth start to loosen and fall off. In some cases, the pressure on the body is so immense that the gases within the body cause the body to explode. So we have to ask ourselves this one question, that where is the one that complains and says, I am better because of my complexion? Where is the one who complains and says that he wears expensive, so he demands honor? What about the one who lives the life of luxury and demands honor through it? Do we still think that that body, that person who feels, I am someone in this world, my complexion enables me to get difference, to get a higher standard of living? Where is all of that now? When that body is in that qabr, for the one who thinks he's high and mighty, when his body starts to liquefy, does it give off gold bars? Does it give off diamonds? For the one who thinks he's better than the others, when the gases come out from his body, is it perfume? Do factories build on top of his qabr and use that gas to make perfume? So the lesson is rather simple. This pride is extremely dangerous. Let us learn to be humble. When Allah gives us bounties, alhamdulillah. You want to drive a Ferrari? Drive it. You want to eat the best? Eat it. But don't let that pride compromise your life. At the end of the day, each and every one of us, Allah protect us all, we could be going through that process. So now the person is in the grave. It comes in the narration that the grave itself turns to that person. And the first thing it says, أَنَا بَيْتُ الظُّلْمَةِ أَنَا بَيْتُ الْوَحْشَةِ أَنَا بَيْتُ الدِّدَانِ. What does that mean? It tells the inhabitant, I am the home of darkness. I am the home of desolation. I am the home of insects, worms and creatures. Desolation refers to a state of complete emptiness. No pillow, no blanket, nothing, not even a mundane object, not even a broken cup, not even a used plaster, nothing whatsoever. And he turns to its inhabitant and he tells the inhabitant of the grave, كُنْتُ لَأَبْغَدُ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَى ظَهْرِ إِلَيَّ. It tells that person, out of all the people in the world, the one I hated the most was you. From the beginning of time till the end of time, There was no one I abhorred and disliked more than you. I hated you. Every part of me hated you. I felt happy hating you. Sometimes we say, he hates him with a passion. So the Qabr turns around and says, I felt happiness when I hated you. To such an extent, no good deed you ever did could redeem you in my eyes. And then in a menacing, full of hatred way, full of hostility, like someone who's purposely picking a fight, this Qabr will tell him, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. Now that you've come into me, I promise to take revenge on you for every time you disobeyed Allah. And today, O enemy of Allah, today is that day. Today you will see what true pain is all about. Allahu Akbar. My respected brothers, can you imagine how scary this situation will be for someone? Can you imagine what will be the condition of that person? We are so used to hearing voices of people that we know. Can you imagine yourself in a small area, alone, no help whatsoever? And all of a sudden this voice is coming out and not greeting you, not talking to you and patting you on your back, but showing you how much of hatred it has for you. And then Allah Ta'ala will make it such that this grave itself will go and close up to such an extent that the ribs of a person will meet. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practically demonstrated it in a hadith. And he said, the qabr will crush him to such an extent. And he did this here with his fingers. He interlaced each one and he held it tight. This is what will happen to the ribs of a person. The ribs of one side will close into the other side. Allah protect us. And then it gets worse. Two angels will come to him, Munkar and Nakir. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, O Jibreel, describe to me, tell me, what is the description of these angels? He says, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Munkar and Nakir's job is only to question a person. There's no other task. Their job is only to question a person. And he says, أَبْصَارُهُمَا كَالْبَرْقِ الْخَاطِفِ وَأَسْوَاتُهُمَا كَالرَّعْدِ الْقَاصِفِ وَأَنْيَابِهِمَا كَالصَّيَاسِ وَأَنْفَاسُهُمَا كَاللَّهَبِ أَسْوَاتُهُمَا كَالرَّعْدِ الْقَاصِفِ أَبْصَارُهُمَا كَالْبَرْقِ الْخَاطِفِ. He says, their eyes glitter like lightning. How many times we've experienced it? When there's a bolt of lightning, each and every one of us, no matter who we are, no matter how strong we are, each and every one of us flinch. We duck. Our heart skips a beat, as we say. Children run helter-skelter. Every time they blink, it will be like a bolt of lightning. The fear. وَأَصْوَاتُهُمَا كَالرَّعْدِ الْقَاصِفِ. Their voices will rumble like thunder. When a huge bolt of lightning strikes, everybody waits for the rumble of that thunder. And how often you and I have experienced it, where window panes start to shake, where items in the house start to shake, the vibration can be felt even on the floor. Every time they speak, it will be like that of a rumbling thunder. It comes in one narration to such an extent that this alone will cause that person to wet himself. That's how much of fear. وَأَنْيَابِهِمَا كَالصَّيَاسِ. Their fangs, their canines are so long, like the horns of bulls. So I was thinking, you know, horns of bulls are not that long. Now, with me, when it comes to doing these things, I like to look and search and find out. So there's a bull called the Texas Longhorn. Each horn is 2 meters long. 2 meters long. In one narration, it comes that these two angels, when they walk, as they walk, their teeth are so long, they scratch the earth, creating sparks as they walk. Dark in complexion. وَأَنْفَاسُهُمَا كَاللَّهَبُ Their voices are like fire. Picture a blowtorch. Try to put your finger in front of one. Don't do it. But can you imagine? They will speak to this person and they will come to him. In another narration, their hair is so coarse that they scratch the earth as they walk towards the person. And they will come with him. مَعَ كُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا عُمُودٌ مِّنْ حَدِيدٍ And each one of them will have a hammer forged from the fires of Jahannam. Each one of them will have a hammer forged from the fires of Jahannam. My respected elders and brothers, Wallahi al-Azim, if every human and jinn on the face of the earth, together with all the animals and all the technology of cranes, helicopters, boats, tugboats, whatever it may be, if they would try to move this, leave moving it an inch, they will not be able to move it even a millimeter. Such a manner they will approach him. The riwayat goes on to mention that such a manner that they will approach him, the approach alone will cause every bone in that person to crack and break. And they'll sit by him. And they'll tell that person, Ya hada, oh so and so, i'arif makanak, look around you, look around you. Do you know where you are? That dunya you love so much, that dunya that you could not let it go, that dunya that you proclaim love for it, that dunya that you could not divorce it, that dunya that you chased after. Today that very same dunya has divorced you. Today that very same dunya hates you. If it loved you, it would have kept you on top. It hated you. Today that same dunya has made you its victim, just as how it had made millions before you also its victim. Today the same dunya will no longer give you that status. So they will tell this person, so tell us. They will ask three questions. Ma rabbuk, ma dinuk, ma hadha rajul. Ma rabbuk, who is your Allah? Ma dinuk, what is your religion? Ma hadha rajul, who is this person that was sent to you? Easy questions, right? Simple answers. My respected brothers, we all know the answers here and now. Ma rabbuk, who is our Rabb? Allah. What is our deen? Islam. Who is this person that was sent? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Easy. But in that qabr, my respected elders and brothers, answer will not depend on intellect. Answer will depend on the strength of iman. Strength of iman will depend on good deeds. Good deeds will depend on sincerity. Only then will he be able to answer. When they ask him, Ma Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? He'll turn around and say, what Rabb? I was still looking for Allah. I thought when I reach 70, I'll turn to Allah. You know, when I have nowhere to go and the arthritis is severe, when wrinkles appear and senility draws near, that's the time I'll look for Allah. When the doctor tells you, Baya, you know what? You got diabetes, you need to take it slow. That's the time I'll look for Allah. Hadith goes, ha ha, la adri. You'll say, what is it? I don't know. I don't know. When they asked him, what is your deen? He says, what deen? What are you talking about? Because there was no deen in his life. He had a relaxed approach. Salah here and there, this way, that way, a little bit Quran here, maybe one or two fast. We'll just carry on, enjoy life. Too embarrassed to show his deen. Again, ha ha, la adri. What are you talking? I don't know. When he asked him, ma hadha rajul, who is this man? What man? You never followed Muhammad. How are you going to recognize Muhammad? For this person, it was never about that. For him, it was all about the Kohlis, the Steins, the Messis and the Ronaldos. The ones who he felt walked the walk and talked the talk. Those are the ones that he worried about. Ha ha, la adri. I don't know. Then the riwayat goes on, فَيَدْرِبَانَهُ دَرْبَةً يَتَطَايَرُ الشَّرَارُ فِي قَبْرِ. They will strike him with such a force that sparks will spread in that qabr. And then it will be said to him, look above. When he looks above, he will see the doors of Jannah opening for him. When he sees the doors of Jannah opening for him, he will witness the beautiful mountain peaks of Jannah. He will witness the houses of Jannah. He will hear the laughter of the inhabitants of Jannah. He will see everything that he wanted to see. The rivers that flow beneath his feet. The beautiful things of Jannah. The fruit of Jannah. The fragrance of Jannah. And they will tell him, Adu Allah, O enemy of Allah. This was your place. Reserved and formulated with your specifics and details. All of this was kept exclusively for you and no one else. No one was allowed to enter it until you are going to enter it. But you chose a different path. You chose to disobey Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in that hadith, he will have taken, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes an oath. He says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِي, I take an oath in the name of Allah. By the qasam of Allah, he will have such regret, the likes of which he never felt in his life. In some narrations, he will have such regret as if he wants to peel off his skin. Completely gutted. This is what I missed. How we say, you know, you want to pull your hair. You are so frustrated. And then that door will close. And then another door will open. And this will be the door of Jahannam. And again they will tell him, Ya Adu Allah, O enemy of Allah, هَذَا مَنْزِلُكَ لِمَا عَصَيْتَ اللَّهِ. This is your place. This is your place in Jahannam. And he will see the flames of Jahannam. He will see the volcanoes of Jahannam. He will see the creatures of Jahannam. He will see the angels of Azab of Jahannam. He will see everything of Jahannam. النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلِيهَا غُدُوَّ وَعَشِيَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained regarding Fir'aun. Day and night, the fire of Jahannam, the windows of Jahannam will be opened. Day and night, he will feel the heat from the fires of Jahannam. Until the day of Qiyamah, he will roast. The hadith of Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu narrates and he says, that as soon as this happens, a caller will call out, and كَذَبَ عَبْدِي فَفْرِشُوهُ مِنَ النَّارِ وَأَلْبِسُوهُ مِنَ النَّارِ وَافْتَحْ لَهُ بَابًا لَهُ مِنْ إِلَى النَّارِ. That my slave has denied me. The slave has denied me. فَفْرِشُوهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Give him bedding from the fire of Jahannam. وَأَلْبِسُوهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Give him clothes from the fire of Jahannam. وَافْتَحْ لَهُ بَابًا لَهُ إِلَى النَّارِ. Open up doors for him from the fires of Jahannam. And as he is looking at this place, and as he can see and hear the screams, the chilling scream, bone-chilling screams of the people and inhabitants of Jahannam, from this window a creature will come out. This creature will come out, qabihul wajh, extremely scary looking, so scary, nightmares are made from it. Qabihul thiyab, his clothes will be smelling. Muntin al-rih, his breath will be smelling. And this creature will crawl out from that window and come towards him. This alone will scare him. And the first thing it will do, it will tell him, Abshir, welcome. Welcome. Glad tidings. Glad tidings of that which troubles you. Glad tidings of that which gives you taklif. Glad tidings of the mountains of pain you are about to face with. This is the day that was promised to you. This person will say, what are you talking about? Nothing was given to me. No promise was ever made to me. No proof had come to me. Show me proof. This very same creature will turn around and tell this person, you asking for proof? How many ayats of the Quran you heard when Allah speaks about this day? How many hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam you heard that speaks about this day? How many scholars have written in their books that you've read about this day? How many ulama stood and spoke to us regarding this day? How many of your beloved you buried knowing about this day? How many dreams of people who've passed before you, you heard about this day? And the proofs will go on and on and on and on. But you denied. You made denial your friend. You kept denying. You denied accountability. You denied death. You had a carefree attitude. And then that creature will say, فَذُوقُ الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْسِبُونَ فَذُوقُ الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ فَذُوقُ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ That taste from that which you earned, taste from that which you denied, taste from that which you hoarded. And this person will turn around and say, but who are you? Who are you? You give no comfort whatsoever. You give no pleasure whatsoever. Your body smells. Your clothes are reeking. Your voice is terrifying. There is no good whatsoever in you. There is no compassion at all from you. Who are you? This creature will tell him, I am the face of your sins. When you committed sin, Allah Ta'ala had given me a shape. And today, I am that face of all the sins. Of all the sins that you earned. And he will begin to cry and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he knows now what is about to come. And he will turn around and he say, Ya Allah, Rabbi la tuqimu sa'a. Oh my Allah, please Allah, please Allah, don't bring the day of Qiyamah. Don't bring it. Because he knows what is about to come will be a million times more severe than what he's going through right now. And the thing about the day of Qiyamah is it keeps increasing and never decreasing. No end in sight. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will unleash angels onto him. Such angels that will be blind, deaf and dumb. They will be blind so they won't be able to see what he's going through. They will be deaf, they won't be able to hear his screams of pain. They will be mute so they won't be able to respond to his claims. And they will beat him with hammers from Jahannam. It comes in a narration, if a hammer from the fires of Jahannam had to be placed on the strongest mountain of this world, not thrown, not dropped, but placed, it will crush that entire mountain and go deep into the seven earths. Day and night, he will be suffering. Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, and I'm going to end on this. He says, at that moment in time, 99 serpents will be unleashed upon him. Arguably, the most venomous snake in this world is called an inland taipan. This snake has so much venom in one bite, that venom can kill 100 fully grown men. One bite. Can you imagine the pain a single victim has to suffer from one bite? And you know, when it comes to the akhirat, it's either way better or way worse. 99 serpents from the fires of Jahannam will attack him. I want to read to you an incident and I'm going to conclude here. Listen very attentively, my respected brothers. There was a particular mufti. He wrote a letter and he mentioned and he said his Darul Uloom was in charge of the Qabristan of that area of the Muslim community. So he said, we receive, normally, you know, everything goes well. We receive news of a person who passed away in an old age home. We went to the old age home. We tried to get into the room. We couldn't get into the room. Eventually, they had to break the door down. And we realized it was a Saturday. He said, we realized this person passed away 2 days before. No one knew about it. Now, the difficulty came about in releasing the body from there. He said, it was very, very difficult. He says, normally, everything just goes well. I have some connections in the city hall, etc. I can get the death certificate sorted out immediately. He said even that was a problem. The body started to give off a smell. So we decided we're going to bury it immediately. That became a problem. Family members came to know. First, we didn't know who he was. Eventually, when we found out family members, they said, no, you can't bury him. You must wait for us. The janazah was moved over to the next day, Sunday. He says the entire night that body was kept in a state. No one could go near it. It was smelling. The next day, Sunday came. He said, we'll have the janazah early as possible. The family members couldn't make it. So they decided, no, they'll go and dig the qabr. They dug the qabr. Everything was fine. He says, in all the years we dug the grave, never once did we even see an ant in that grave. Not even a worm, an earthworm too, we never ever saw. But we dug that grave. Everything was clear. Everything was clear. We arranged the time to be at the janazah to be at the time of Asr. Asr time came, there was another delay. We only ended up burying that marhum, that person, at 8 o'clock at night. You can imagine the smell. So he says, nevertheless, we got the job done. When we went into the qabr, it was absolutely empty. The brothers got down in, they put the body in. And as you know, our normal tartib, one after the other, they come out leaving one person in. There was the last man in. He put the last plank. And from nowhere in the wall of that qabr, a huge snake came out. And the first thing it did, it wrapped its entire body on the head of that person. He said you could see it coiling and coiling tighter and tighter. And as soon as it reached its peak, it took its head and laid straight in front. It looked and didn't do a thing. He says at that time we learned from our asatiza that whenever we see something in the qabr, we must leave it. We pulled that man out, it never attacked him. It waited, we put sand and sand, it didn't do anything at all. We covered that qabr and we started to cry. And we left it. I conclude. Do you know what is waiting for you in the qabr? Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad, subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahu bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.